it.
Okay, everybody gather round. It's time for the big pen. Pull down. Kick out your heels. Jump up and down. Shut your eyes and whirl around. Reach out your hand, and if no one's there, grab your own hand, dance round in a square.
When you're doing the big pen, hold down. Gotta have a collar you can trust.
The Power Hour.
Right.
Here is the host of the Pigpen, Danny.
Well, just 3.5 minutes ago, seems like even less, you heard my tease. And it was, if you think that your kids are spending too much time on their damn phones, you might be surprised, because a recent article in Business Insider, which Corby forwarded to both of us, gosh, maybe a week ago, we've been kind of sitting on this for a while, Silicon Valley parents, and these are people that work in the tech business, people that literally work in Cupertino, the home of Apple headquarters, and work for Apple, share your concerns to the point where their homes are virtually tech-free, to where their kids are not allowed to even own a phone until they're 14. And then when they do, they are not allowed to use it while they are at home.
Dude, I read this article and it kind of freaked me out.
Because the average age that a kid gets a phone these days is 10 years old. Now, I know a lot of parents...
Mine were 12, by the way. Are 12 when they got one of them at least.
They give them these phones because it is a virtual tethering system. You want to know where your kids are at all time. You want them to be accountable for their whereabouts. You can check in on them, know exactly where they are.
It's also easy to say, hey, take your phone to practice, text me when you're done type thing.
Right.
You know, it is convenient.
It is convenient, but...
But there's way more, the downside of it, there's way more to it.
Now, I know that society has evolved where we are such an information at our fingertips, location at our fingertips type of world that we live in. And we've all had to adjust to a certain extent with that wave and the way it's been going. So I think it's probably really hard to reverse culture in these homes. I'm currently reading this book. It's called White. And the author is Brett
Easton Ellis,
who wrote American Psycho, Less Than Zero. This is a memoir, essentially, of him. He's a little bit older than us by just a few years, growing up in the 70s. And he speaks just so eloquently about things that we talk about often on this show, about the way it used to be in the 70s, to where you'd get up, you wouldn't see your parents, you'd make your bowl of cereal, you'd rock some cartoons for about a half an hour, then it was play clothes on, you were on your big wheel or your Huffy, and you were gone for the entire day. You might come back and grab a quick sandwich for lunch, and you disappeared, and you did not come back until sundown. Nobody knew where you were, nobody knew how to get a hold of you.
Nope.
That's just the way it was. But now, we have to know where everybody is all the time. The ridiculous idea that we feel like if we're going to be 5 minutes late for our show meeting, we're texting in traffic going, it's stuck on Woodall, bro. Be there in a few.
I know.
It's stupid. How did we evolve to this? Well, the thing is these Silicon Valley parents are taking a stand and saying, look, play board games, do puzzles, read a book. Hell, maybe watch a little TV.
Right. Go watch.
Go
how
watch
many times
TV.
Did you say that? Get off your iPad and go watch TV.
Isn't that something?
Yeah. Now, we went through this as kids, but it was about television, and it was nothing else. What are you doing watching? Your eyes are going to stay that way if you watch TV. Get away from the TV screen. It's got radiation. It's going to kill you.
The problem
TV
is,
was the evil Black Mirror back then.
The problem is with these devices, and it's been proven out over studies and what have you, that there are several issues that kids are growing up with now because of their addiction to whatever the screen is. Whether it's a phone, whether it's an Xbox, whether it's an iPad, whether it's a computer. This is not healthy. And these people that invented the technology are saying enough. They invented it.
Yeah.
And they know.
And they go to work there every day.
Yes. They know to leave well enough alone and to ban these things from their kids. And it's not just at home. This is at school.
Yep.
They have schools out there in Silicon Valley where these things don't exist.
Right. A lot of, I mean, most schools now, if you live in a, gosh, probably even in rural areas, you're going to school and you're using a MacBook Air or a Chromebook to save your work, to do all of your, you know, your assignments, on some form of a laptop. I'm certain of it. Now, I didn't have to deal with this, thankfully. My kid's 27.
Yeah.
He didn't grow up in a world where there was a lot of tech. It was kind of similar, you know, in a lot of ways to the way you and I grew up, except you weren't allowed to disappear for 8 hours and not know where you were.
Right.
Because he lived in the city, I lived in a small town, whatever. But, yeah, for kids now, it's so much different.
Sure. And it's a lot of it's convenience, obviously. Mm-hmm. A lot of it is teacher driven.
Yeah. Now that's what I wanted to go back to as far as the school thing. Like Corby said, in Silicon Valley, this low tech, concept is infiltrating the schools to where, hey, no, you come up to the chalkboard now.
Dude.
They're reinstating the chalkboard like it's some arcane concept. Mm-hmm. And making kids do their work on paper, on chalkboards, and the laptops don't even come out in some of these schools until they're in the 9th, 10th grade.
I'm interested, like, is that a public school or is this some high level private school out there? I don't know, Bob, I only asked that because
I just skimmed the article. I didn't read the whole thing.
I asked that because what's really frustrating as a parent is twofold. One, that every parent, if you want to hold out on tech, it feels like you're the, and I know kids are lying to you when they say you're the only one in the class that doesn't.
They are.
Okay. Of course they are. But then you go in there and you do see that most of them do appear to have an awesome iPhone or something like that, right? So there is a losing battle because I don't know when the age is where the first parent in the classroom decides it's time to get my kid a phone. But it is significantly earlier than I would opt for.
Right.
Our kids, I think we went 14, and our youngest, although maybe iTouch before that, maybe 12, but our youngest still doesn't have either. And I think my wife just said, you know what, let's try to see how long we can go before he's really begging it, because the other two were really, really into that sort of thing. The other issue I have, though, and this is the big one, is the city schools issue iPads in elementary school to get them going on that. So the simple idea of textbook, notebook, chalkboard,
mm-hmm.
writing skills and all these things. I get that, you know, even the simple penmanship classes are, you know, outdated and they don't even really care about handwriting anymore. And I'm not here to tell them how to teach kids in mass, but I am here to say the second you issue them a school-issue iPad that they can take with them everywhere, even if it has regulations on them.
It's hard to put that horse back in the barn.
Dude,
it's impossible.
It's really introducing them to the wild wonders that are out there, because we're all moths to a flame. We all can't quite just, you know, check out of tech because it is pretty cool and it's convenient and it helps this and helps that. And your brain justifies all this to yourself as, I really can't go back.
Well, and I think that no one's trying to slow down progress. No one's trying to sit there and say that this isn't helping out society as far as it making it more streamlined and just the ease of everything technologically. It makes life easier. But at the same time, that these people are recognizing that when you're on this from the age of 2 to the age of 17 and it's nonstop, the myriad of problems that it produces psychologically, that's the problem here. It's not just that we're slowing down progress. It's that
Social skills are stunted.
It's unbelievable.
They suffer from disassociation.
Yes.
Like they still
depression.
They don't know how to look people in the eye or shake a hand.
Yeah, this is gonna sound like an old person, but let's go for it. They do hang out with each other, which means they're all kind of sitting next to each other, looking at their phones next to each other.
That's one point that's brought up in this article, that they see these parents see these kids getting on school buses and their heads are all down on their devices. They're not interacting.
Yeah.
That was the best part about going to school. If you had to ride the bus, was jerking
the
around with
play.
Your friends
yeah.
and talking and telling stories and stuff.
I've definitely witnessed the video game get together, which on one hand resembles what we did. You know, let's get together and play Madden or whatever. back in the day, they get together and one's on the Xbox, the other one's playing a game simultaneously on their phone. Now they're enjoying it, the company and each other, I guess. But yes, you think about that. And then there was a 60 Minutes piece that sounds like this. So I did not read this article, but I watched a 60 Minutes piece that sounds very, very similar, where the Silicon Valley folks, I want to say the guys who invented Snapchat, got out of the company, and maybe I'm wrong with these specifics here, but the premise of the story was that they kind of got scared of their own product, of the wiring of our brain, the release into the bloodstream of
the dopamine, instant likes and dislikes.
It's completely based on the fact that your brain cannot fully decipher the difference between actual money and the currency that your brain creates from likes or a Snapchat streak. Do you know about Snapchat at all?
No.
Okay, well, it basically the premise of Snapchat, I mean, the technology behind it's amazing, but what really gets the people hooked, even adults, is a streak back and forth. Right, Mino? Do you do streaks at all? You're on Snapchat, aren't you?
I have it. I'm not very familiar with it.
Okay,
I don't use it enough to have streaks.
Well, basically, you take a picture of yourself and send it back, and that constitutes one day of a streak, and they send it back, and it's just a game of ping pong that goes on for hundreds and hundreds of days. And how do I know this? Because when you take their phone away because of misbehaving, the streaks end, and it's a meltdown of epic proportions that you've broken all the streaks and that.
Yeah.
But anyway, it's currency to your brain. It means something to them.
It's
that's
virtual,
super
though.
Important, but it's virtual currency. But your brain doesn't know the difference. So anyway, on 60 Minutes, these guys were just like, man, we created Frankenstein here. I'm out of this. I don't feel good about what I've created.
Well, what's the biggest problems that you have with your kids from the age of whatever age? Has it always been, for us, it always is being sitting there playing video games, being on your phone,
on YouTube,
being on your iPad, watching YouTube. That is the number one. Maybe I'm lucky in saying that. That's the number one issue we have. And literally, when you finally get them to turn around and pay attention, they are a pile of mush.
Right. And like the meal, the no phone meal. That's as crazy as we go. Dude, they're trying to eat in 2 minutes.
Yes.
They're trying to get back to it as fast as they can. Mom's like, hey, whoa, we're not all done. I'm done.
Let me pull an excerpt from this, and this goes all the way to the top. The low-tech parenting has been a quiet staple among Silicon Valley moguls for years. Silicon Valley's low and anti-tech parents have seem overly cautious, but they actually follow long-standing practices of former and current tech giants like Bill Gates, Steve Jobs, and Tim Cook. In 07, Gates, former CEO of Microsoft, implemented a cap on screen time when his daughter started developing an unhealthy attachment to a video game. Later, it became family policy not to allow kids to have their own phones until they turned 14. And today, like I said before, the average American child gets his first phone at age 10. Jobs, the CEO of Apple until he died in 2012, revealed in a 2011 New York Times interview that he prohibited his kids from using the newly released iPad. Quote, "We limit how much technology our kids use at home," he told the reporter. Even Cook, the current Apple CEO, said in January that he doesn't allow his nephew to join online social networks. The comment followed those of other tech luminaries who have condemned social media as detrimental to society. Cook later conceded Apple products are not meant for constant use. "I'm not a person that says we've achieved success if you're using it all the time. I do not subscribe to that at all." These are the presidents and founders of the company saying this stuff needs limitations.
Like, that's their career.
Dude, it's scary. It really is scary, especially, and I know you're in the same boat, Bob, having kids that age and seeing them go through it and just looking at them going, what is the end game of all this?
Well, yeah, and I guess it starts with kind of looking in the mirror and seeing how mom and dad handled their tech and how attached to our hands it is and how, it's first thing you grab when you wake up and, even... I've even noticed it got worse. Like a month ago, I started wearing a Fitbit because it's a long story. The point is, the first thing I do when I wake up is I check the Fitbit app to see how well I slept.
Yeah.
Like, are you telling me?
You can't tell that yourself?
For 5,000 years or 100,000 years, whatever it is, people haven't been able to figure out if they slept well the night before without checking an app to confirm it? Like, I need to be scored on my sleeping?
Yes, you do.
So I think we're all infected, but at least we grew up in a different world to know we're infected. Whereas if that's the only world you've ever known, it's probably really hard to shake that.
I cannot wait to see what the next generation freaks out about in 25 years, what these people's kids, how different it'll look.
Man, I don't know. That's a great question, or will they all just be like, that's totally normal? Like, they're the first generation to not freak out about what their kids are doing?
Maybe not.
Yeah, that ain't going to happen.
All right, boys.
All right, coming up in 3 minutes.
Thanks, Danny.
We tackle, yes, good job, Danny. We tackle, finally, it's happening.